Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Welcome into hour number two of Sports 180. I'm Heather Harrington, along with Joel Silverberg, Chris Bernard, producing for us today. And we have connected with the one and only Ron Slay. It's sleigh ride time, people, here in Knoxville, thanks to Native Design and Hardscape, Knoxville's premier landscaping and hardscaping designer. They're ready to turn your home or business outdoor space into a reality. So you can schedule a consultation today at nativetn.com. What is up, Ron?
What's up, Heather, man? Just coming off a great win against Colorado. So settling in, getting ready for this big matchup tonight. Jimmy V Classic is always been good to us. Wasn't really good to my team, you know. I don't know why that was that year, but we did redeem ourselves the game after against Syracuse. But this is a different Tennessee team led by a different guy, different coach, different chemistry. And I'm excited to see them on this big stage, what they're going to do, especially after everybody got a chance to see them against Villanova, you know, as far as the nation goes. And this is the next time they got to see them. North Carolina kind of a little bit, but a lot of people will be tuned into this and it's been broadcast a little bit more. So excited for these guys. And the biggest, what is it, the Mecca of basketball, the world's famous stage, Madison Square Garden?
Oh, yeah.
Don't get no better than this.
It's definitely special. And I like how the cosmos, the stars lined up. They were like, no, Tennessee is going to play Chris Beard this year. So whether he's at Texas Tech or Texas, like, it is going to happen.
Yeah, we're going to find a way. We're going to find a way to get him in there. And I hope they take Texas Tech to the woodshed.
I know, right? Okay. It would be nice to start this week off. You're continuing with the Colorado win, which for Tennessee to go on the road, get that first true road victory of the season. They were in control the whole way. Kennedy Chandler, his three-point shooting was not great, but man, put up 27, was so solid from the field and then facilitating. Just what did you think of that Colorado win and what stood out to you?
I think right then we got to see exactly what was advertised when we were getting Kennedy Chandler. You got to see a guy that was a little mature, and he's growing each day, each game. It seems like he's getting better and better and more mature. He was a different player now than he was when he first got there. You know what I'm saying? From when we first saw him on the big stage versus Villanova to North Carolina to Colorado to this point. Like, he's getting better and better. The team is getting more comfortable with him. And honestly, this gives me some thoughts of that Grant Williams team when Grant started to come into his own. You started to have pieces around him. And guys started to emerge and really embrace their role, knowing that going down the stretch, you had a closer in Grant Williams. Now, a lot of Grant's action was done from the elbow, and then you got action on the weak side, and you got guys moving to kind of keep people occupied where he was able to go to work. Now you got a closer that has the ball in his hands, that can make decisions. You can get it to him in different spots. Man, this is a beautiful, beautiful type of basketball to watch, especially when everybody is buying in. Now, we didn't get to see Kamwa really explode, but he gave what he had, you know, and that was okay. But you got to see what happens when people like Fulkerson start to play like he can. Euros started to play like he was. So I say those names first because that's where I feel like the trouble could lie with us. If the front court doesn't up their game, which I think they will. Now, I think it's coming. I think it's coming in spurts, but it's coming. So, really comfortable where they are. But with a guy like Kennedy Chandler running the show, hey, man, everything else is falling in place.
For the last several seasons, Rick Barnes has been pounding the table about how he wants this team to run. He wants to turn his offense into a little bit more like a track meet. Does it seem like this season that is starting to come to fruition with the group of guys that Barnes has this season?
Yeah, I think so. And I think coming into it, we were unsure what was going to happen with Santi and how he was going to be incorporated into the offense. He's found his role. Now you got a guy like Ziegler you're putting in there. You can put him in there with Kennedy Chandler. So you got two guys running a 4-3 up the court at all times, with or without the ball. Then you got a guy that's being able to keep the floor space with Santi. And you got Powell. You got Josiah that can start the break. Like Victor Bailey Jr. is, you know, trying to catch his groove. So, I mean, this is where we are. You hit it on the head. This is what he's wanted to do since he's got here, especially since leaving, since Bone has left. But thought you was going to get that opportunity last year. Didn't get to get the chemistry right with Jaden and Keon, and then you kind of out with a point guard who really couldn't push the pace. But you see what Santi did with his body. His conditioning is totally different now. So he knew what he had to do. He listened to the staff and got right. Big G got him right. And now, man, they are off to the races. And you got to love that. And I'm going to tell you who's gonna reap the reward from this the most would be Fulkerson.
Like, you think so?
We missed John last year as far as being that guy that you can rely on every single night in and night out. And it was almost too much pressure. That's not the role that he is. Like, yes, he excelled in it and maybe overachieved, but this role he's in now, where you can get it to him every now and then, get a bucket or get the drop offs or let him be a Swiss Army knife around the paint, man, he's a dangerous guy. This is the guy we grew to know and love, the guy that can crash the boards. You even saw him get back with his confidence. He did an up and under and then dunked it. Like, man, that's what we're talking about. We thought we started to see that getting to go into the SEC tournament a little bit last year. But then, you know, we had the violent hit from the Florida Gators who, I don't know if they knew they were playing Texas Southern or did they even know it was a game that day. But I'm not here to rub it in. I'm just mentioning it. But I think we're starting to see Fulkerson come back in that leadership role in the front court, and those guys are going to follow behind him.
Yeah, Woodrow, my little 3-year-old, he was like, "Those are bad Gators last year when they hurt Fulky." So see, you get karma. What did Eli Drinkwitz say? If you if you sow jackass, you get jackass.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's
exactly
coming back a little bit. Hey, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, Josiah Jordan James being back in the mix, what he brings to the table, we definitely got to get your thoughts on him. And if you want to chime in, and if you want to get in and get involved with the sleigh ride, you can give us a call, 656-9900. Star 990 is a free call for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. We're talking Josiah Jordan James and what this Tennessee team is going to have to do tonight to get a win over Texas Tech in the Jimmy V Classic. It's sleigh ride time, people. Thanks to Native Design and Hardscape coming up on Sports 180. It's sleigh ride time here on Sports 180. Thanks to our friends, Jacob Dunaway and his crew at Native Design and Hardscape, Knoxville's premier landscaping and hardscape designer. They are ready to turn your home or business outdoor space into a reality, and your new outdoor space awaits. You can find them and schedule a consultation today at nativetn.com, making your backyard dreams come true. Ron, Josiah Jordan James being back in the mix, not a lot of points, but man, when you look at his stat line, the rebounds, the blocks, just everything he was doing, this is the essence of who Josiah Jordan James is, isn't it?
Without question, Heather. Now, I'm going to tell the people right here that's listening to us. Now, when you tune into the sleigh ride now, what you got to realize is, you know you're going to get some kind of analogy. So, The way I got to break this down to you is, if you lost in the woods, you know, you're in the Great Smoky Mountains. Maybe you out there with Smokey, you're in the Great Smoky Mountains, just roaming as free as you want to be. And you got to get camp. You got to pitch a tent. You got to make camp. Man, you got to always have a survival kit. That survival kit is Josiah Jordan James. Because when you open it up, man, Heather, it might not be all pretty and glamorous, but man, you're going to have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in there. You're going to have a lighter.
Some
trail
mix.
You're going to have a knife, a trail mix. Like, you know, you're going to have everything, Heather. Water. Like, you got to have him on the trail, which he might not be the tent. He might not be the vehicle to get you there. He might not be nothing for smoking to eat. But boy, I'm telling you, you're going to be able to survive with him. Without him, oh, you're in trouble. You're in trouble if a bear come across you. Now, but you pop that Josiah Jordan James out, and he'll take on anything. Look at his rebounds, Heather.
Yeah.
Look at 5 points, 5 timely points, because that three-pointer really should have counted for 6 when he hit that to go on and boost that run and take on off with him. And then being able to handle the ball as a guy that can play in the front court or the back court and have zero turnovers. Then, we're going to keep adding to it, four block shots. He led the team in blocks. Like, I mean, man, you're talking about a guy that does it all. And you see in games like this, you think back to last year, the year before, any time that he was in, it was like, man, we got an opportunity to be there, especially when he'll take the shot on the offensive end. We know all these other intangible things that he can get done. But when he'll take the shot and make the shot with confidence, it's a different ball game with this guy on the court. And all of that confidence that he exudes comes right out to his players. Because they all, if you see it, one of the guys mostly celebrated every time they do something great is Josiah Jordan James. It's like, dude, we've been waiting on you. Yes. Like, so if he embraces that role healthy as being that guy, the glue guy for this team, man, the sky is the limit. It could take so much pressure off guys like Kennedy, guys like Ziegler, guys like Santi. Even setting up guys, like imagine posting them up and opposite. You got Kennedy Chandler, Justin Powell, Santi, and you got one of those guys like Fulkerson or Kamwa in the dunker spot, and one of those guys slice and cut. The defenders don't know who to leave, not who to go with. They don't know if to double Josiah, who's a bull down there also. It's just so many things you can do with if this guy's playing with confidence.
And Josiah kind of got maybe criticized unfairly his first couple of seasons for not being the pure scorer that I think maybe comes with the stigma of just being a five-star guy. Do you think having a guy like Kennedy Chandler that can put up points in bunches almost allows Josiah to embrace his role of being the Swiss Army knife around everywhere else on the floor a little bit easier?
Yeah, it does. I think without question, it allows him to be who he is. It allows Fulkerson to be who he is. It allows Santi to be a flamethrower and not have, what is it? Eight other eyes beside his defender looking at him. So now we're starting to see when Santi was able to come into the league and make a splash, it was because so many people were off guard. They were worried about what other people were doing. Then you saw last year, oh, he's the point guard. All eyes are on him when he's coming up the court. Now you got this guy on the wing, but also you got attention to Kennedy Chandler, whoever the other wing is, whether it's Victor Bailey Jr., Josiah Jordan, whoever it is. Attention is on them. You can't leave Kamwa now that he's a threat out there on the perimeter also. And you know Fulkerson, you got to keep an eye on him just so you can be able to box him out. Now you get guys to be able to settle into their role. And now you see the playmaking of Santi. All this is because guys are accepting their role, especially when Josiah's on the court. Man, it's a different game when you go small, like they were able to do, go small and put him at the four. Now when the rebound comes off and he led the team in rebounds, he get that defensive rebound. It's no longer clap, clap the hands, where's the guard? It's head down to the ground. First three steps are big, long strides, and we sprinting. Get to your spots because I'm finna feel you. I'm going to hit you out there. I'm going to hit you for a lob, for a dunk. It don't matter. Be prepared to go out there and score. That's why you see guys getting out there and running in the confidence that they're playing with.
And Joel touched on that earlier, you know, with the style that Rick Barnes has been moving to, with wanting to push the ball, with wanting to go a little faster. And you just touched on it there. How often are they going to be able to use that really quick, maybe a little bit of a smaller lineup? But I would imagine their three ball is going to have to be hitting. But how often do you think they can unleash that on teams, especially when they get to conference play?
What's that? Unleash what on teams, Heather? I'm
you
sorry.
You know, the smaller lineup with where Josiah then in the rebounding and pushing the tempo up the floor. Just are they going to be able to go to that at will?
Yeah, I think so. And you got to be prepared to do that. I think they can. And the reason being is because what Garrett does with those guys in the weight room. Like, I would love to see from the smallest, who would be Ziegler, all the way to the biggest, who should be Euros. Like, just go through line and push them and tell them don't fall. Hold your ground. Every one of them going to stand there and hold your ground. Then you come back down the line and you punch them. Don't literally punch them. We don't want nobody getting in trouble. But you punch them and you tell them to hold your ground. They're going to stand there. Like, these guys are built for this. You know what I'm saying? Like, even a guy like Kennedy Chandler, you can see their development in their body. So now when you can go small, you're not worried about guys being physically tough to go rebound. That's why I bring that up. Because these guys want to look for the contact. You know, you got guys that are shy away and duck and dodge, but that's because they're not physically there. When Euros last year was getting in with excitement and energy and everything, but he still kind of didn't have his legs under him, that's different now. You know, he knows who he is. He knows how to be planted in the ground. Take up your area. Spread your wings. Get there. Brandon Huntley Hatfield doing the same exact thing. We know what Fulkerson does. But when you go small with Josiah at the four, and I'm going to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised in games, especially against teams like Alabama that really like to go small and spread this court, they could go five small. You just got to make sure you, at that point, you got guys like Justin Powell or Victor Bailey Jr. who want to be physical too. Like, I ain't saying everybody's there, but they on their way. They on their way. We need them two to come along, and boy, woo, Lord have mercy. It's going to be fun to watch because it's going to be scrappy. Then you can change the game. And then if you need to muck it up, you need to muck it up a little bit. I said that with an M, people. Muck it up a little bit. You got Focus in the combo who's just going to go out there and run wild. And then you got big guys. Euros can come off the bench. Huntley Hatfield come off the bench. It's, hey, this is right here. This is what you see when you get a foundation laid. Just like the year before, but the guard left with Keon and Jaden Springer and things of that nature. Imagine if it would have been a guard in play. Point guard and play with those guys being able to stay strictly on the wings and push tempo. You get that in this group, except without the slashing, you got the deep threat of shooting. So I can't wait to see it. And I think you got enough of all of it because you got a guy that's handling the ball that, man, I hate comparisons when you talked about former players, but man, if you watch Kyrie Irving at Duke, and I'm going to keep it right there at college, not the one in the pros, but at Duke, man, this is a very similar game to him and Kennedy Chandler right now. Very similar as far as confidence. Like, this young man is posting up. Who expected us to do a post-up for Kennedy Chandler? That's how Fulkerson got the lob. Posting and him beating this guy. And then the guy in the dunker spot. That was that alignment we were talking about earlier. If you got Powell, you got Santi, and you got another shooter out there, and then you got somebody like Kamwa or Focus in the dunker spot, you're in trouble because this man is crafty. It's a good problem to have.
A good problem to have, and also working on his three game. It wasn't hitting the other night, but we have seen him hit more efficiently from the three-point line. I want to talk more about Kennedy Chandler. He came up on Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander's podcast, too. He might be the reason why Memphis is having so many problems because they don't have a true point guard, and they were name-dropping, like, how much different would this team look with Kennedy Chandler? So I want more Kennedy talk coming up next. We'll continue to break down the Tennessee and Texas Tech game. And take your phone calls as well. If you want to get online and ask Ron a question, the sleigh ride is open for business. I almost gave the wrong phone number. 656-9900 *990 is a free call for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The sleigh ride continues on the flip side on Sports 180 on the Sports Animal. Sleigh Ride has officially taken over the airwaves here in Knoxville on Sports 180. Thanks to Native Design and Hardscape, Knoxville's premier landscaping and hardscape designer. They are ready to turn your home or outdoor space into an absolute dream reality. They want to make your backyard dreams come true. Schedule a consultation today at nativetn.com. The one and only Kennedy Chandler, he was being talked about on CBS Sports' podcast earlier this week about, man, that sure would be a nice piece for Penny Hardaway to have as Memphis has now lost three straight games in a row. But just when you look at it, and you kind of touched on it there a second ago, Ron, when you look at everything he brings to the table and the fact that he's going to keep getting better week in and week out, what are ceiling-like scenarios for Kennedy Chandler at this point in time?
You know, it's interesting, Heather. It's beautiful to watch it grow game by game. You see one game is him shooting. You see one game is him dishing. You see one game is him just getting to the cup and creating traffic and getting others involved. So I think it's you're in a great place watching him. I remember being able to see him as a freshman and when I was coaching at Innsworth, and we played them in the state championship game. They also had Omari Thomas, who's on the football team, wreaking havoc up front But he was the center, and all it was that he had Kennedy had a good shooter on the wing. I believe it was the coach's son, but man, he was so dynamic. We were in the game, and it was just like, okay, the way we win this game is when we score, trap Kennedy without the ball. Don't let him catch it. We could not stop him from catching the ball. Like, and then once he got it, it was just his show. It was like watching Curly Neal with the Globetrotters just dribble through the Washington Generals. And we had more talent than the Washington Generals, but and played harder. It still just wasn't nothing we could do. So I knew at that point, like, this young man can be special. And then I was able to watch him mature over the years. And then when he went to Sunrise Christian in Kansas, I was able to see him grow and turn into a leader. I think that was the biggest thing for him going to Sunrise Christian. When he was there, this is just me from bird's eye view, he was able to begin to be a leader there, man, and lead those guys. And it's different when you're leading guys that you grew up with or, you know, guys that you play with all the time than leading guys that are very, very talented, like you would be playing with in college, a select few, you know, and you put them together in a melting pot, and this is what you got. And he emerged as the leader of this team, and he showed up every single night. And that was good to see in AU or it's at the Geico Nationals. So this man right here, man, it's a special thing. And I think especially in college and high school, pros is a little different. But you win tournaments. You win tournaments by guard play. We saw that last year when Baylor went to the national championship. You saw that with UCLA when they made their run. Like, the guards are what make teams go. You definitely got to have front. And this is coming from a big man. You definitely got to have front court players that can do their thing. But, whoo, when you got a guard that's tough to handle, it can be a nightmare for you. And I think we're starting to see that. And he's feisty. This is a fighter. Like, I haven't seen him back it down from a challenge because guys are going to go at him on the other end as well, where he got to play defense. You can't hide him. You know what I'm saying? So I'm loving the growth that we're getting to see. And how Penny let him get out of Memphis, that's a great question. But, I'm putting my trust in Coach Barnes any time that he get to walk in that living room and speak to a parent. I'm riding with that. I'm going to ride with that every time.
While we're on the topic of other teams' downfalls, how much fun did you have watching Florida lose to Texas Southern last night?
Listen, man, like, I'm telling you this right now. Tennessee was off this weekend. The Vols didn't have to play no football. The Titans didn't have to play. So, I was all focused in on basketball and was loving every minute of it. Memphis went down to two SEC teams.
Yeah.
To two teams that didn't think that they were really going to be in the running for everything. But Tom Crean, he lost a lot of players. He lost Willard to Georgia, Christian Brown to Tennessee State University. But, man, still somehow, some way, when you go to Athens to play, it's going to be a tough dogfight. And Tom Crean, man, they better give him some time. They better give him some time. I know the clock's ticking, but give him some time, and that's a good coach. Then you turn around, and what Kermit Davis did to Memphis after Memphis being on alert, like, man, we got to get it together. We just lost to Georgia. Then you go to Ole Miss, and they hit you in the mouth? Woo! Hey, man. Hey, you got the number one and number two recruits in that class that reclassified came in there. You went and got Larry Brown, and you went and got Rasheed Wallace, and you still can't get it done? I don't know what y'all gonna do down there in Memphis. I hope we don't see Penny walking on Beale Street just flabbergasted and can't figure it out. You better get some more help down there. Better go get DeJuan Wagner again or Derrick Rose. Hopefully he can get in there. Okay, I'm gonna leave that alone. Now to the Florida Gators. boy. Woo! Mike White done a terrific job. Now, I got to give him his props. That team, I didn't think this team was going to be gelling that quick. I didn't think they were going to be able to go out there and compete this fast. I thought an SEC play, just because it's SEC play and he knows the coaches, that they'll be able to get some wins. But, man, they ran some off early on and got in the top 25. And then, lo and behold, a team that has won no games, or maybe one game.
No, was their first win last night,
It was 0-6 or 0-7, and they walk into the swamp. Now, people ask me all the time, Heather, hey, Slay, what's the most difficult place to play at? Is it Rupp Arena? I'm like, nah. Arkansas is pretty tough.
Arkansas is tough. LSU, there's something LSU, weird.
Yeah, it's just a weird something in the air at LSU. But the Old Dominion? Yeah. And there are people right on top of you. They're talking about your mama, sisters, brothers, everybody. Man, they talking about the lunch lady, you know what I mean, back at school. Like, it's crazy. They went in there and laid an egg? I couldn't believe it. Texas Southern went in there and slapped them right. I don't know. Boy, guess what I would have told my team? If that was my team, hey, y'all, don't y'all worry about nothing. I got it. Y'all shake their hands in that line. Y'all go get in the locker room, get you some water, and then come right back out here with your same uniforms on. We got to get some shooting in. We got to get some running in. We about to practice because y'all didn't play. Y'all didn't play when Texas Southern was out here.
You should be tired.
No, you shouldn't. We're going to have an inter-squad scrimmage. We're going to get 40 minutes out of this today. Man, the Gators went down. Gators, Dan Mullen. I blame it on Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen took the blame for everything else. He might as well take the blame for this, too. Dan Mullen is the fault for Texas Southern beating Mike White and them in Florida.
Yeah, we'll blame hashtag blame Dan. I like that. hey, what other team I want you to touch on here is we're doing sort of an SEC roundup. Alabama. The ability to score 91 on Gonzaga, like Chet Holmgren really wasn't a factor. I mean, what did Alabama do? They jumped up 7 spots. They're now 7-1 in the country. Just are they the team to beat this year in the SEC?
You know what, man? Coming off of last year, I thought it was going to be hard for them to get back to this point so quickly. But like we said, we just talked about the same thing that Tennessee holds in their hand in a dynamic guard that can go and get a bucket any kind of way and play on the other end. JB Davidson is the same thing. Like this young man can go. Like I'm not gonna sell him short because man, the man can really, really play and they're benefiting from it. Like and then it's also guys like Quinterly. He's been there. Like they got a confident bunch, they got good groups. Can their big men step up? That's the question. They got some athletic guys, but when the game slows down for them and they're not playing that up-tempo, one-on-one style, and guys got their feet in the lane and, you know, they can get the shooters and challenge and rebound the ball, can they run a set? You know what I'm saying? Like, without just running pick and roll or 4-round-1, we know that style, NATO style. Get a shot from 3 or get a shot in the paint. But what if you can't? Do you have anything else that you can lean on? I think going into the Gonzaga game, they didn't play the ranking. They played exactly who Gonzaga was. And looking at last year, Gonzaga's a team that when they have to go up against athletic teams from the wing all the way to the low post and they're not scared of their sets and can defend and communicate, they have trouble with them. So Nate Oates has done a terrific job with these guys. These guys are playing with a confidence, man, that I haven't seen, that I didn't think we would see from a team this early in this team that's kind of rebooted. But Jaden Shackelford is a guy they can lean on also. Like, Davidson is a guy. Like, they got some players down there. But Alabama, to answer your question, Heather, I do think they are one of the teams to beat. I look at them. I look at Auburn trying to find a way. Jabari Smith, his son is really good. Puts you in the mind of a guy like Pablo who plays for Duke. Big guy that can handle the ball. And you know Bruce Pearl is one that's going to put the ball in his hands and tell him to take us there. So going to be interesting. Kentucky, Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee. We got some good teams up there. We got some good teams. I think this is another time where you see, like in the bowl game, you got 12 of the 13 teams going to bowls. This could be a team, a conference where you see eight teams going to the tourney.
That'll be interesting. I mean, I think a lot of the experts have it pegged at 6, maybe 7. So if you're able to get 8, it'll just be wild. And we'll see what happens. We're talking to SEC legend, VFL, the one and only Ron Slay. We got the Slay Ride for one more segment. Thanks to Native Design and Hardscape, Knoxville's premier landscaping and hardscaping designer. Find out more information online at nativetn.com. We'll get Ron's final thoughts on Tennessee versus Texas Tech tonight. What the Vols need to do to cover that 3.5-point spread. That's coming up next on Sports 180 on the Sports Animal. We still got the Slay Ride going with SEC legend and VFL Ron Slay, the one and only, presented by Native Design and Hardscape. You can schedule a consultation today at nativetn.com. One question I had, Ron, before we get down to tonight's nitty-gritty and the Jimmy V Classic, Is there any concern about Tennessee's three-point shooting and whether it's going to travel consistently after that Colorado game? They didn't really hit for the percentage that they wanted to. Just what do you think about Tennessee's three-point game and where a nice little area of percentage-wise they can live in consistently throughout the season?
You know what, Heather? I think with this team, it's going to vary from game to game. I mean, you would always hope – you could live around the 38-40% range and, you know, keep on trucking. But I think it's going to be different once you get into conference play. Like, you know, the film is out and people guard the three-point line. So you got to be able to do other things. My thing is, can you hit the timely ones? The way that Josiah did in the game against Colorado, can you do it when it's time to – the clock is winding down. It's the last 4 minutes of the game. Can you do it if the guy starts going under the screen just because Kennedy Chandler's 0-for-6 or some 0-for-5 at that point in the game, and then he makes one to put the nail in the coffin? So that's the part of it. And then you gotta keep getting guys that are hot. Keep getting those guys open looks, like Santi, like Powell coming off the bench. Hopefully Victor Bailey is a guy that isn't streaky throughout the season but can become more consistent. I think that three-point is an equalizer for this team, especially when you're playing fast. You know, you got the freedom to do it, and that's the part of shooting. It comes and it goes, but as long as these guys are defending, which we know Coach Barnes is going to depend on them to do in order to take those freelance shots, I think they're okay. So rebound the ball and have guys knocking down shots in transition, and also have guys that's going to the hole, which opens up a lot. That's why you need a guy like Kennedy Chandler. The thing that scares me the most about this team is if a guy like Kennedy got in foul trouble, you know, especially if Josiah's not in. You know what I'm saying? Santi, I know he can keep the team afloat. Ziegler is a guy that really has come along and shown, even though not scoring, he can still push the tempo, get to the cup. But you want to have that dynamic guy being able to handle the ball the majority of the time. And if we got that, I think we're in great hands.
And Texas Tech, I think they're a good defensive team. The analytics would suggest that they're pretty good. But outside of that loss to Providence last week, they haven't played anybody. The six teams they've beaten have a combined one win. They've beaten five winless teams. So how good is this Texas Tech team?
Man, Joel, the thing is, man, everybody will get up. Everybody will get up just to play a top 25 team. So regardless how good they are, you got to go and fight. You got to act like they're undefeated. You got to act like they're trying to get a revenge game after losing to a team like Providence. Because I know they're hearing the noise. Like, you're undefeated, then all of a sudden a good team that a quality win that you could get against Providence, you lose. You let that slip away. So I think it's going to be interesting to see exactly what's happening. I know a guy that I played with, Terrence Shannon. His son plays for them, so me and his dad played together in the D League, man, and had some great times. He's just as athletic, can shoot better than his dad. So he's a guy that they will rely on. They get him back and get him rolling, get him in the lineup, get him comfortable. He's a guy that can really get going. So it's gonna be interesting to see him getting his feet wet on this big stage. And you got to know who the guys are. Like, he's one of the guys. Like, you need to contain him. Don't let him get to going crazy, because he can go nuts and really change the game. All it takes is one guy to get going in basketball, especially in Madison Square Garden. So you got to take this team for what it's worth. Take their record is who it is, 6-1. They had a stumble. Just look at it as a stumble. They lost to Providence by four. Hey, don't you be the next one. That's what I'm preaching going into it. So you go out there and you fight on that main stage. And Tennessee, be who you are. Strap up, play D in that big arena, and I promise everything else will fall in line.
So you got three games before the Nashville rubber match between Tennessee and Memphis. Will Tennessee be 3-0? So I guess they would be 9-1 going into that Memphis game. Will Tennessee be only a one-loss team when they face off with Memphis?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe so going into it. I think this team has something to look forward to. Anytime you can play a in-state rival, you know you got to take it game by game. But once you get to that game, I think emotions and records go out the window, and you do that one for your brother, you know, Kennedy Chandler. He chose to go there to Tennessee, so you don't let him go down. It's planned in the mid-state. Crowd's going to be rocking. I think it's a sold out already. I'll be in attendance loud as ever. So it's going to be real good. I can't wait for it. But I tell you what, Memphis better be worried. That's who better be worried. They still ain't done with the SEC.
No.
They got to run across Alabama before getting to Tennessee. Penny, they got three straight losses. Iowa State, Georgia, Ole Miss. They got to play Murray, which should be a win. We don't know. We don't know. Alabama and then Tennessee. So they got to be trying to get their record together. It's going to mean a lot more for them to where their season is going to go as far as the tournament seeding goes before they go into conference play. So I think that's even better for Tennessee. Like, we're gonna put the spike in it to put you down. Right back down on Beale Street. Go listen to some blues, because this ain't it, buddy.
He's singing them right now.
Yeah, they are singing them, and they're going to keep singing them. Ain't no need in coming out of it, buddy. They got to – see, this is what I love. It's not in Memphis. It's right here in Nashville. It's on neutral turf. Woo, we get to bring it. I hope Tennessee come out in droves, boy, because, boy, we're going to take it to Memphis. Little Penny, better put him on the bench to try to help coach.
I love it. I cannot wait. We'll have multiple opportunities to talk about that Tennessee-Memphis yes. matchup before it actually happens on the 18th. But, Ron, we sure appreciate your time today. Any parlay advice for us? Should we get in on this Tennessee -3.5? How you feeling?
Yeah, I think so. I think they win by 7. It could be more. You know, it could be more. I think this is a team that's focused, and they know how to go out and get it. You saw a Colorado game. They started out 8-0. They were down. It was like, don't even look at the score. Let's play the game. And they did that, and they ran on off and beat them by 15. So I won in that game with it. So I'm going to go back again with the house money and play on this one, too. I'm taking Tennessee -3. And I'm going to take the over, whatever the over is. I don't even care. I know they're going to get busy in Madison Square Garden.
Don't care what it is. I'm taking it anyway. Ron Slay, BFL and SEC legend. He is part of the Slay Ride each and every week here on Sports 180. Thanks to Native Design and Hardscape, Knoxville's premier landscaping and hardscaping designer. You can schedule your consultation today at nativetn.com. We're still working on the Slay Day, so we're workshopping it, Ron. It is coming. It is going to be in the hopper and out for the people. But we sure do appreciate your time today, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Beautiful, man. Y'all have a great day, and go Vols! Go beat Texas Tech, them little Red Raiders with them little bitty guns. They should have brought a musket instead.
That's Ron Slay. You can hear him weekdays on The Zone over at our sister station in Nashville. Appreciate you, Ron, and we'll talk to you soon. That is Ron Slay, brought to you by Native Design and Hardscape. We're going to close out hour number two now. When we come back, we'll talk to somebody else in the mid-state, Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. He is covering the Tennessee Titans and rearranging his schedule. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and at Tennessee's SEC bowl matchup versus Purdue. So Joe Rexroad is coming up next. We'll also talk to Jay Busby at 2:30. A locked and loaded hour number three of Sports 180 is on the way here on Sports One on the Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.